Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101. We have a very special tribute episode to the late, great Carl Reiner, who sadly passed away this week at the age of 98. Carl Reiner, as you know, a man responsible for the film career of Steve Martin, the TV and then film career of Dick Van Dyke, was partnered with Mel Brooks in much, much more, which you will learn about in this episode. But before, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcast, or on our website, comedyhistory101.com. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid.
Comedy History 101.
This gentleman here is one of the phenomena of the world. He looks no older than Mr. Sean, and yet he is 2,000 years old. Is that true, sir?
Yes. You want to see my driver's license?
No. We have it authenticated. The Mayo Clinic has checked you out and said that you are 2,000. Sir, what has kept you alive for 2,000 years?
When I'll go in an airplane, if I'll go in an airplane, I'll never sit in the first two seats or the last two seats from an airplane.
You mean not sitting in the first two or the
first
last two seats?
Two and the last two
has kept seats. You alive? I don't understand that. Why? Has that
because
kept you
if the plane, unfortunately, should take a flop out from the sky, you're going to go down with it and break your foot. Right?
Yes, but if the plane, as you say, flops out of the sky, everybody in all the seats will break their feet. I mean, at least.
Yeah, let me amend that. Any seat is no good.
In other words, you're afraid to fly in an airplane.
On the nosy.
So what we heard there was a clip of the 2,000-year-old man. The recording was from 1967. It featured Mel Brooks and who, Scott?
Mr. Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner, the late, great, legendary Reiner.
Carlton Reiner, if we're going to be on first name basis.
Yes, and of course you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me is Scott Colonico. Scott, we've been off for a while. How are you?
I'm good, Harmon. We're covering from COVID-19 over here. How are you guys doing this day?
No COVID jokes, no Barron Trump jokes.
All right.
That's
all
the right. Motto of Comedy History 101.
Right. I take it back.
We don't joke about those two topics.
Okay.
Unless you're making a joke about the new normal or the Free Barron 2020 campaign.
Or about how a Barron could run for the president of Slovenia if he wanted to, probably.
Well, I would say the first joke more applicable because Barron is not being used as the punchline. We're more supporting him to free from.
Dude, if he wants to run for president of Slovenia, I fully support that. That's fine. I'm just saying he is probably liable to.
Oh, right. But don't let the internet hear you say that.
Yeah,
They'll roast you, man.
No.
They'll come after
not
you.
If it's they'll cancel me. The cancel culture.
Yeah.
We'll get canceled.
You'll lose your Twitter account.
I know. It's horrible.
But we digress because sadly, though he lived a very full life, he lived to be 98, Carl Reiner passed away this week. Carl Reiner was born in 1922.
Back in the olden days, man.
Yeah. So just right here up front, I'll just go through a few of his, well, Carl Reiner is a man responsible not only for launching, you know, partially launching the career of Mel Brooks, Dick Van Dyke, and Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Well, I'm not gonna argue. I mean, I'm sure there are more people. We could throw in John Candy from the 80s and Mark Harmon as well.
Oh, right. Okay. So again, before we go chronological down the list, tell us about John Candy. How did Carl Reiner help the late great John Candy, who, as we've talked about in the history of SCTV here on Comedy History 101.
Yeah, well, that's easy enough, Harmon. Carl Reiner directed the classic, some would say cult classic comedy film, Summer Rental. But here's the weird thing, dude. He did like there was a back-to-back where like in 1985 he did Summer Rental, and then in 1987 he did Summer School. He directed Summer. So he had this like
Summer
a duo of... Yeah.
So what I remember of Summer Rental, and of course directed by the late great Carl Reiner, responsible for the careers of Steve Martin, Dick Van Dyke, and Mel Brooks, it was kind of that era of comedy, like around Caddyshack, where the final act of the movie climaxes to the big sports showdown, and it was like a sailing competition. And I think something happened where they lost their sail, and the final shot is John Candy's underpants being used as the sail.
I was a young Boy Scout, Harmon. I remember one time being at Boy Scout camp, and somebody actually did hauled somebody's underpants up on the flagpole, and it was still funny. It was still funny back then,
dude. Oh my god, dude! In the 80s, I spent most of my life in summer camps as a kid, and that was always a go-to.
You can't go wrong. I want to double check on our Richard Crenna, the thing that you just brought up, as he was being in Summer Rental, because I believe he was all I'm thinking of somebody else who was a bad guy in Caddyshack 2.
Oh really?
That was
here's a quick rundown on the actual thing, which is the topic of our show today. Carl Reiner.
Okay. Yeah.
So Carl Reiner, just as far as comedy career goes, and then we'll dive into his early life before comedy.
Sorry, Harmon.
Yes, Scott.
Robert Stack. That was the guy who was the bad guy in Caddyshack 2.
Oh, right. Okay.
It wasn't Richard
Crenna. Wasn't he like a cop kind of guy? Was on like a lot of cop shows, Robert Stack?
Yeah, who was the Unsolved Mysteries guy, but he was an Airplane, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, go ahead. Right. An airplane in an episode coming up.
Should we ditch the history of Carl Reiner and do the history of Robert Stack?
No. That was just a trivia.
So anyways, Carl Reiner... The topic of today's show, passed away 98, for God's sake, 98 years old. So here's a Carl Reiner. Also, we mentioned he was responsible for launching the careers of Steve Martin, Dick Van Dyke, Mel Brooks, but also Rob Reiner. Who's his son?
That's his son, Meathead. Yeah. Yeah.
Meathead. Yeah, Spinal Tap.
Of course he launched his career.
Spinal Tap.
Fans have corrected us. That was a Rob Reiner.
And he also has another son who's a painter.
Actually, who lived here in Berlin, and I have contacted him. I've emailed
him. Really? What did you contact him for? For this episode today?
I wanted maybe get him on Comedy History 101, because he directed a movie called The Spirit of 76, which was kind of one of the first movies that made fun of the 70s. I think it came out in like... that's the weird thing, because I think that movie came out in like 91.
Oh, wow. So he started again. Maybe this should be a history of Carl Reiner's sons.
No, dude. It all fits together, dude. It's fine. We can go on.
But the man who we're here to tribute today got his start in the early 50s, from 1950 to 1957. He co-wrote and acted in probably one of the quintessential comedy shows of early television, of course, was your Show of Shows, starring Sid Caesar.
And so many people got their starts
there. Yeah. Could you go through that? Because off the top of my head, I know Mel Brooks, Woody Allen.
Yeah, Neil Simon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. And then after that, he wrote for and acted in the Caesar Hour. I guess that was just called the Caesar Hour. But his huge breakthrough in television was in the 1960s, a little show that he was creator, producer, writer, and actor on, The Dick Van Dyke Show.
The Dick Van Dyke Show, starring Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, because that's what's interesting. I didn't know about this. So that actually, he'd been kind of kicking that around for a while, which was when they were first when he was first trying to pitch the show. It was called Head of the Family.
Yeah, and he was going to be the Rob Petrie guy.
Yeah. Right, and they were like, no, they're like, no, you don't do that. But I think before we start talking into that, I think that was interesting about his military service. I had no idea that Reiner was in the military.
Even before that, though, he was born in the Bronx, New York, in 1922, as we mentioned, to a watchmaker. His parents were Jewish immigrants. Father was from Austria. His mother was from Romania, kind of, you know, very New York story. As you were saying, he was in the military. So tell us more on that, Scott.
That was crazy, yeah, because he got drafted into the Army Air Force. He got drafted before it was the Air Force. It was the Army Air Force. Back in 1943 as a corporal, eventually achieving the rank of corporal. And he trained to be a radio operator. But apparently one time he got pneumonia. So he was sent to Georgetown University for training as a French interpreter.
Mm.
So apparently he could speak fluent French. Who knew? So he started doing theater and directing Molière's plays entirely in French.
Probably doing The Misanthrope.
He could have, yeah.
Which is a popular Molière play.
Yeah, so he went to 1944. They shipped him out to Hawaii. He was going to work as a teleprinter operator. Right before he was scheduled to ship out, he went to a play of Hamlet by the special services, which was like kind of like a they were like the people when they would enlist entertainment people in the industry, mm-hmm. and they would kind of have this special unit of people who would do plays and stuff for the troops. So he wound up joining them, and he did that for like 2 years. So he performed all over the Pacific Theater in Hawaii, Guam, Saipan, Tinian, and Iwo Jima.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah.
As part of the roving play company.
And like we mentioned, many comedians have gotten their start in the military.
You know what? I remember, Harmon, I just remember the last time we were talking about this, we couldn't remember the other guy who was like acting out and his sergeant let him do routines in front of the troops. It was Flip Wilson.
Also, Lenny Bruce was in the military.
He was in the Merchant Marines, but that was like something, that was like some weird kind of 1950s thing that people were always in.
When they're taking the goofballs, they would.
Yeah, they're taking the goofballs and listening to the beatnik jazz.
And snapping their fingers instead of clapping.
The Merchant Marines were some weird. I still don't understand what the Merchant Marines were, but that was like some kind. It was like being in the Army, but not really.
Yeah, so from performing in the Army, Reiner went off to perform in Broadway musicals, such as those really memorable musicals such as Inside USA and, of course, Alive and Kicking.
And you know what, Armin? He had the lead role in Call Me Mister.
Yeah. Do you know what that was about by any chance?
I have no idea. But you know what? There'll probably be some people out there who are like specialists in like 1950s Broadway shows who would know about all this.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother podcast.
Right? Yeah, but the popularity of Call Me Mister, let's not write it off. Because of that, he was cast by a Max Liebman in Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows, which he appeared and wrote alongside his future comedy partner, as we heard up front, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, you know what
and
else
Mr.
is funny?
And Mr. Odd Couple himself, Neil Simon.
Yeah, Neil Simon. And he also worked on that show with Larry Gelbart, who went on to do, was one of the writers of MASH.
Yeah, actually, I think that was the Caesar Hour, not your Show of Shows.
Oh, that was the Caesar Hours. Yep. Sorry. Don't let all the Sid Caesars podcast people get mad at us.
Yeah, so he worked on there not only with Larry MASH Gelbart, but also with Mel Brooks and Woody. He kind of gives us the creep now, Alan. But that, again, that was like, you know. So quick question, Scott. Mel Brooks wrote for Get Smart with Buck Henry.
Yes.
Like we mentioned, he wrote and performed alongside Mel Brooks on Your Show of Shows. So starting in 1960. So he teamed up with Mel Brooks as a comedy duo. And they appeared on The Steve Allen Show. And from their performances on television and stage, they did the classic 2,000-year-old man sketch. That's pretty iconic. I mean, it's part of that. I like that era of, and once again, we've talked about this on an episode on the history of the comedy straight man. You know, the importance of that. So Carl Reiner was the straight man to funny Mel Brooks, but he set Mel Brooks up perfectly. It's kind of that era of comedy when they had double acts where the straight man would repeat what the funny guy just said to set him up. It's like, what you're trying to tell me is that when the airplanes land, that your feet are...
But what's crazy is, so they started doing that in like 59, 60. They kind of started doing that as a bit. And like, so what you played at the beginning of shows from 67. And then I dug up this cartoon that they did in the 1970s. I think it was like 74 or so.
Right.
And it's basically just animated bits of the 2,000-year-old man. It's just so they've literally, they're almost doing that same bit for like 25 years.
Yeah, but it wasn't like they were just like, that was their only laurel. That was like
who's on first to them.
It was...
But
classic.
Yeah, but also it was all improv too. You know, they would just do, you know, improv the whole thing. You know, it was like this. So like Mel Brooks' biographer William Holtzman called it jazz improv. You know, they would make it up fresh. You know, there, of course there would be bits they would just do over and over, but a lot of it would just be, you know, on the spot improv stuff. So yeah, it was fresh.
Yeah, I mean, again, they were like the golden boys of writing of the time, you know, in a way that, and we'll get to later, that Steve Martin, before he was like, you know, huge filling arena, Steve Martin was like one of the writing golden boys when he appeared, you know, writing for like the Smothers Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So as an actor, Carl Reiner, he acted in such films as It's a Mad, Mad World, Mad, 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 Mad World. I still haven't seen that. Have you seen that? Isn't like 4 hours long?
No.
Who's the director once again?
Yeah, Sydney. It was like
it's huge. Sydney Kramer, Stanley Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer. Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those 60s. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was like one of those things that was of the time. And that was, it's mostly known for all the cameos.
Oh, my God. Like, everyone's in that.
Yeah. I like the one that he was in from 68, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, where he kind of plays a... that one's actually pretty clever. That's from 66. He plays a kind of a dad of a family, and there's a Russian submarine that lands outside their New England town to like get gas or something. The submarine had to stop for some reason, and the Russians get out, and the town thinks they're under attack from the Russians.
We are two strangers in this island, sir, and we wish to speak with you about boats.
Boats? Boats? About boats?
Yes! Yes, that is most exactly correct.
Boats.
Well, I don't understand. I mean... Who are you? I didn't hear a car. How did you...
Please not to be afraid. We are nobody. We wish only to inquire
where to find powerboat, motor powerboat for private use for some brief little time. You understand, sir?
I'm sorry, but I still don't understand. There are no boats around here.
No boats?
No.
This is an island with no boats.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, there are boats, some boats, but not around here, in town. I mean, in the harbor in town, but there are none around here.
Big boats.
Yes.
Well, motor power boats.
All different kinds of boats, yes.
They're Russian.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like the Patrick Swayze movie Red Dawn.
But funny. But funny. It's like that, but more funny. And nobody peeing in gas tanks or radiators.
Is that what they did in Red Dawn?
Yeah, dude, that's what you do. You can do that if your car, if you get a hole in your radiator and you need more fluid in there, you can pee in
there. So Patrick Swayze peed in Carl Reiner's radiator?
Somebody peed in there. It could have been, what's his name? The Soul Man guy. The blackface guy.
Oh, C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah, that movie has it. Oh, wow. It was edited by Hal Ashby. That's crazy.
Oh, okay, wow.
Wow,
cool. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like Hal Ashby.
But the thing I didn't know that Reiner had played in the Oceans, like the updated of the Oceans 11. Plus
have you seen any of those?
No.
Nope. Not even the all-female
even,
one?
Like,
the Sandra
even Bullock? The, but even, the thing is, even the original is kind of bad. You know,
yeah, like, I mean, yeah. I think if I was going to dive in, I would dive in with the Frank Sinatra one. But even that's kind of just—is it like a lot of? I imagine that's a lot of winking at the camera.
I'll put it this way. Here's my favorite thing to point out about this one. So they're talking about doing a heist of all the casinos, mm-hmm. right? So Frank Sinatra stands up and he's drawing all the casinos on this chalkboard. But on the chalkboard, instead of just writing the name of the casino, like the casinos are all like very the name of the casino is all very artfully drawn out in like their font. Of like, you know, of like each of the casinos. So it's almost like a brochure when he's standing up in front of it.
Oh, so again, yeah, it was like kind of like ridiculous. The product placement of the day.
Oh, totally. It was totally a thing for Come to Vegas and Look How Cool It Is. Yeah, because that was like kind of, you know, that was kind of towards the end. When they were doing it, it was kind of towards the end where like you'd go out to Vegas and you'd get dressed up and not like it is now where you're going and you're walking around in your cargo shorts and flip flops,
yeah,
and drinking a fucking mega beer down the air conditioned hallway
and just hating it as I did when mm-hmm. I was there a few months ago.
Yeah, it's a weird place, dude. It's just it's nice. You can go to the desert and it's always going to be hot and you'll have a swimming pool there. That's
yeah. So anyway, Scott, just segueing in. Yes. So as far as like film director Carl Reiner goes, it kind of stems back to the Dick Van Dyke Show. And once again, in 1959, before the Dick Van Dyke Show premiered, we just mentioned it was being developed by Reiner as a TV pilot called Head of the Family, based on his own professional and personal career. I don't know, he might have been all right in that, you know? But he did end up playing on the Dick Van Dyke Show. He played Alan Brady.
Alan Brady, Alan Brady, Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Alan Brady,
Buddy Sherrill.
Yeah, it was Alan Brady. He was great. Yeah, he was the great, you know, angry boss. Or just kind of numpty boss.
Kind of, I would say more like numbskull boss. Kind of a little bit clueless.
Numbskull, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good show. Rosemary and who was Buddy, not Buddy Hackett, who was Maury Amsterdam.
Maury Amsterdam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a power trio.
Rosemary, yeah, yeah, okay. Rosemary and then like her. So yeah. Apparently there's a documentary just came out about her.
Yeah, she was a child actress. She was called like BB Rose or something.
Really?
Yeah, so she was in show business her whole entire life.
And she inspired a lot of people, a lot of women to get into comedy because like, oh, here's a woman in the comedy writer's room, which, you know, you didn't see before.
Yeah, exactly. And also there's another connection of someone who was a comedy writer that has a connection to Carl Reiner, which we'll get to in a second on his film career. Because of the Dick Van Dyke Show, he began directing movies. He first... I believe his first feature film was the Joseph Stein play Enter Laughing, which I think it was like, it was sort of like semi-autobiographical.
It was based on his book, on Carl Reiner's book that he wrote. That's what I got out of it, yeah.
But in 1970, he directed a movie called Where's Papa, which I believe the lead was George Segal. And also Ruth Gordon, who was also a comedy writer before.
Really?
Did she start her career like when she was like 70?
Well, it's crazy.
But she wasn't, her career in front of the camera. But I do believe she was a comedy writer.
Well,
like,
that's
before she
be
became
podcast.
Like, you know, an actor.
Yeah, so Where's Papa was 1970, and so Harold and Maude was 69, I think. I'll double check while we're talking about it. But then the funny thing is, later on, she's still kind of playing the same character, you know, 7-8 years later when she plays in Every Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood, where she's like hanging out with the monkey.
Oh, right. Yeah. Do you think, is that the best monkey movie, or is King Kong?
I think we're going to have to do best comedy monkey. Like, there's Every Which Way But Loose and then Every Which Way You Can.
Yeah, that's like Smokey and the Bandit 2, and then the Smokey and the Bandit movie where they didn't have Burt Reynolds and they just had Jackie Gleason playing like three roles. It was called Smokey is the Bandit.
Awesome. What a twist.
Yeah, it's like, where's Burt Reynolds? I don't know. We got Jackie Gleason, though.
I'm correcting myself. So actually, Where's Papa was first for Miss Gordon. And then Harold and Maude was in 1971, actually the very next year.
Right. But for Carl Reiner, after Where's Papa, he did the classic Oh God, George Burns vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
John Denver vehicle.
John Denver and George Burns in
Oh God. I thought you didn't believe in me.
That's just an expression.
I'm more than that. I want you to spread the word that I am. I exist.
Got those two together.
and Terry Garr.
Oh, wow. Terry Garr used to be like in every movie. She's really good in the Scorsese movie, After Hours. Love that movie. Can't remake it.
She's great, yeah.
Very dated.
Yeah.
Because now you would just go, why does he just get an Uber?
Wait. Why just walk?
Yeah, why it would just take him 20 minutes to get. It's an allegory. It's an allegory. Like,
yeah,
it's Save a it Greek podcast, Odysseus, dude, yeah. You know, journey.
Exactly. Yeah, no. But oh yeah, After Hours is great. We'll have to do another.
After Hours is it never gets mentioned in Scorsese. You know that and King of Comedy. Just maybe because they're comedies, they never get mentioned as like Scorsese's, you know, top films.
What happened?
You know, particularly King of Comedy. That's just so inspiring of so much lunacy. So, 1977, that was Oh God, John Denver, George Denver Burns. Like, can you imagine that movie to be put out today?
No.
Denver Burns Reiner.
if you just go watch the trailer, or if you have time, play a little bit of the trailer. It's fucking. Pardon my French, but just imagining John Denver as a lead in anything. It's just kind of amazing now.
Is that just in Moose another episode of himself? Was that John Denver's only like film performance or lead?
I think he'd done if you want to keep talking, I'll check it out. But I think that was like his first lead.
Right.
I know he'd
probably did a lot of TV stuff.
He was on the Yeah, he was on The Muppet Show a couple times.
Oh, yeah. But that's not like, you know, a lead in a film co-starring George Burns. But, Scott, that leads us to 1979 and a wild and crazy guy making his film debut. Carl Reiner directed and also made a cameo in. Do you want to say it together on three? One, two, three, the jerk.
Yeah, the jerk.
In the history of motion pictures, only a select few performers have become immortalized by the roles they have portrayed. Consider the vamp, the champ, the tramp. And now the most perfect casting of all, Steve Martin, The Jerk.
The Jerk. Oh, man, it's classic, dude. Still classic.
Jerk is funny.
Yeah, it's good, man.
But that started a whole avalanche of movies. Well, actually, it launched Steve Martin as a movie actor because first he was just kind of, you know, top comedian Steve Martin who would fill concert arenas. And from there, Carl Reiner went on to direct Steve Martin in Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid, The Man with Two Brains, 1983, and particularly All of Me with Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, if you have time, Harmony, if you could watch, we could insert the Man with Two Brains drunk driving scene. This is
let's watch it right now.
A classic. That's what.
Now juggle this, do a tap dance, and sing the Catalina Magdalena Lupenstein of Ollenbeiner song.
God damn, your drunk tests are hard. Catalina Magdalena Lupenstein of Ollenbeiner. What's her name?
All right, you're not drunk. You can go. Oranges! Now drive carefully. Wait! She's not drunk, she's dead!
Dead? My God, I better get her to a cemetery right away!
Steve Martin at his Steve Martin silliest.
It might not be the edgy comedy, but it's silly.
Yeah, it's good, silly comedy. All those four, you know, Steve Martin, Carl Reiner movies were pretty silly, fun.
I think a Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is gonna get its.
That was like a take on film noir. Was that right after The Jerk, or did he do another movie with someone else?
And that was after The Jerk. That was like 1982, 83.
Oh, Pennies from Heaven was the one that was.
Yeah,
like weird.
But that was Steve Martin. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid in 82, 83, and that was the one where they kind of inserted Steve Martin into
It was kind of like
movies.
Zelig.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that. It was still pretty clever.
Probably worth having another look at, you know, especially if you want to have a Carl Reiner movie night.
There's a really, it's not funny, laugh out loud funny, but Steve Martin in that movie, or Rigby Reardon is his character's name, he's always talking about how he makes the best cup of Java, and there's just this one scene where he goes into the kitchen and just like pours like the coffee grounds into the pot for an absurdly long time.
It's just
kind of funny.
Yeah, so that's our homework assignment for our listeners here on Comedy History 101. Come back and watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and tell
Check
us what
out,
you
yes.
think.
Yes, exactly.
So Scott, Carl Reiner had a career. He had a career as a writer. He had a career as a performer. He had a career as a movie director, which amounted to, in 2000, he was honored with the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center.
That's pretty big.
It's pretty big. I just heard, like, that's where, you know, big shows like Jokey-Okey play out.
Jokey-Okey. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, exactly.
He was honored by his friends and comedians Mel Brooks, Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore, Steve Martin, his son Rob Reiner, Jerry Seinfeld, Ray Romano, and Joy Behar?
Yeah, Joy Behar, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
which one doesn't fit, that's kind of odd.
At one point, she was kind of
yeah.
Big.
So he wrote a memoir in 2004, My Anecdotal Life. He had a good quip about comedy. It said, "If you start thinking about what's funny, you won't be funny. Actually, it's like walking. How do you walk? If you start thinking about it, you'll trip."
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I like the while we're on the closing out here on the home stretch here, I saw this one thing that we dug up that 2012 Reiner appeared on the Jerry Seinfeld show, the comedian cars getting coffee, and he shared a story where apparently Mel Brooks would come over to Reiner's house every night, and they would sit down, they would eat, and they'd watch Jeopardy because Reiner would tape it so they could watch it together. And then they would watch a movie, but they had rule for movies. They would only watch a movie where somebody says a line, "Secure the perimeter or get some rest." that had to be in the movie.
Can you think off of the top of your head any movies that have those lines? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's probably quite a few. I finally watched Face Off. Like, I'd never seen Face Off ever.
Face Off. Oh, my off. God, dude. I've seen that, like, three times. Face
Oh, my
off.
God, dude.
Face. Just I used to love John Woo so much. Like, all his Hong Kong films. And they came to the States in almost all his American films are just ridiculous.
It was, dude, it was same thing. Like, I remember watching the Hong Kong ones, and I watched this. I'd never seen Face Off before, and you watch it. This is just
with a cameo by comedian Margaret Cho.
Yeah, she is. And you know what? So, if I could quote from another podcast, the only reason she was in there in that movie is because John Woo's daughter told him to put her in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
but that's what happens. Like in, I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street. Who directed that one?
That's Wes Craven.
Yeah, so I think Wes Craven's daughter said, "Put that Johnny Depp's cute." Was that the one where Johnny Depp was? So that's
that was
kind of how it happens sometimes.
Well, oh well, fair
enough. Yeah. So any other takeaways from the life and comedy career of the legend Carl Reiner and his place in comedy history, other than that we just discussed over this whole episode?
I don't know, man. Well, I'm just going to say, man, you never know where life is going to take you. You know, he starts out in the army, starts doing show business, and then winds up writing. Who knows where life is going to take you, Harmon?
Yeah, and he was 98 years old, and, you know, he was making appearances, you know, almost all up until the end.
Yeah, it's up to it's all keep the brain all nimble.
Yep, and again, as we stated up front, you know, launched the careers of Dick Van Dyke and Steve Martin in movies, and, you know, worked alongside Mel Brooks. So very much a solid place in comedy history, and fathered Meathead himself, Rob Reiner.
I mean, that should be enough right there.
Yeah. So that wraps up the history of the late, great Carl Reiner. And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, thank you, Harmon. Well, folks, if you don't know, Harmon and I do another podcast kind of regularly, irregularly, but we still do it. It's called This is the President. We mostly right now, though, we've got a YouTube channel that's dedicated to all your kind of crazy presidential stories. So we're over on YouTube, so just head to youtube.com/thisisthepresident. You can find all your sorts of crazy JFK phone calls, LBJ phone calls, everything else you want to know all about the president. And also, Harmon and I wrote, produced, and I directed a movie that premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival this year called Betrayal, and which is going to be premiering online later this month. No, but we'll be premiering online sometime soon, which we'll let you know more about it as it gets closer to the date.
Can we say the outlet?
Keep that. I don't think so. Let's just kind of keep it all under wraps.
It'll
right
be
now.
On the World Wide Web.
Yes, the World Wide Web. Premiering on the World Wide Web.
World Wide Web. Yeah. Sometime soon. Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. And with that, it's time for listener mail. God, I love it when we get actual listeners writing to us.
So what do you got?
With quips.
Well, let me hear it.
Which anyone could do, because we will read it on the air. We have a comment from a Sharon Bullard on the history of Moms Mabley, which you can check out the episode, you know, on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get the Comedy History 101. Sharon says, I remember her as a little girl of 6 years old. So that's, first of all, a little confusing. Does she remember Moms Mabley as a little girl of 6 years old? Or was she a little girl of 6 years old remembering Moms Mabley? I'm going to go with the latter.
That's kind of weird.
That I remember her as a little girl of 6 years old. My grandmother, mother, and aunts would listen to her as children would have to go outside and play. Also, as we've covered before on the history of party records, because she was a little bit blue. So continuing on with Sharon's comic, I remember thinking, what was she talking about that we children could not hear? My grandmother would say that it was not for children to listen to. That's cute. And again, yeah, nice. Yeah, ties in. You can hear that back episode on one of the outlets I just mentioned. And also, we talk about moms in the history of party records. And with that, Scott, I'm going to say thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Take some time
to subscribe,
like, comment on Comedy History 101, either on our website, comedyhistory101.com, on Instagram, Twitter, our Facebook page. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.